The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, Text 13 to 19, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on August 29, 1990, in Mumbai, India.
हरिपुरस्थार जगृहे पूर्वं देवस्ततो भवान. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ajitta, grasped the front portion of the snake and then the demigods followed.
Tanaichan daityapatayo mahapurusha chestitam nagrinimo vayam bhuccham aher angam mamangalam sudhyaya sruta sampana prakyata.
The leaders of the demons thought it unwise to hold the tail, the inauspicious portion of the snake, hold the front, which had been taken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Maniko tranetrayo parinate pravasvishata samedita mamandurad abdhim tadasa madotkata mahadrinakshobita nakrachakram.
The demigods and demons worked almost madly for the nectar, encouraged by the Lord, who was above and below the mountain, and who had entered into the demigods, the demons, Vasuki, and the mountain itself. Because of the strength of the demigods and demons, the ocean of milk was so powerfully agitated that all the alligators in the water were very much perturbed. Nonetheless, the churning of the ocean continued in this way.
Ahindra sahasrakato radrinmuka swasagnitu mahata parchaso sura holo makalyeha palivaladayo tavagni dagda sarala iva bhavan.
Vasuki had thousands of eyes and mouths. From his mouths he breathed smoke and blazing fire, which affected the demons headed by Poloma, Kaleya, Bali, and Ilvala. Thus the demons, who appeared like sarala trees burned by a forest fire, gradually became powerless.
Devamscha tascha svasikahata praban dumarambarasragvarakanchukananan samabayavarshan bhagavad vasakhana babu samudram yupakutavayava.
Because the demigods were also affected by the blazing breath of Vasuki, their bodily lusters diminished, and their garments, garlands, weapons, and faces were blackened by the smoke. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, clouds appeared on the sea, pouring torrents of rain, and breezes blew, carrying particles of water from the sea waves to give relief to the demigods.
Matyamana tata sandur devasura virutapai yadasudha najayita nirmamantajita svayam.
When nectar did not come from the ocean of milk, despite so much endeavor by the best of the demigods and demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ajitta, personally began to churn the ocean.
Megashyamakanaka paridhi karana vidyota vidyan murdhini bhajad vilulita kachasrag dharo rakta netra jetayar dhrobhir jagadabhaya dayar dandasukam grihitva matnan matnan pratigriir ivasho bhatatho dridhadri.
The Lord appeared like a blackish cloud. He was dressed with yellow garments. His earrings shone on his ears like lightning, and his hair spread all over his shoulders. He wore a garland of flowers, and his eyes were pinkish. With his strong, glorious arms, which award fearlessness throughout the universe, he took hold of Vasuki and began churning the ocean, using Mandara Mountain as a churning rod. When engaged in this way, the Lord appeared like a beautifully situated mountain named Indranila.
Nirmatya maradutabera budvisham mahol banam halahala vaham agrita sambrandamino makarahi kachchapat tim dvipagraha timinkilakulat.
Fish, sharks, tortoises, and snakes were most agitated and perturbed. The entire ocean became turbulent, and even the large aquatic animals like whales, water, elephants, crocodiles, and timangillifish, large whales that can swallow small whales, came to the surface. While the ocean was being churned in this way, it first produced a fiercely dangerous poison called halahala.
Tadugravegam dishitishya paryato visharapad utsarapad asayam aprati vita prajatu druvur angase svaha arakshyamana sharanam satasivam.
O king, when that uncontrollable poison was forcefully spreading up and down in all the directions, all the demigods along with the Lord himself approached Lord Shiva, Sadashiva. Feeling unsheltered and very much afraid, they sought shelter of him.
Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
One may question that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present, why did he accompany all the demigods and people in general to take shelter of Lord Sadashiva instead of intervening himself? In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya warns, Rudrasya yashasodhaya
swayam vishnur vasam vibhu na sanjare samarato pi vayum soche prasantaye.
Lord Vishnu was competent to rectify the situation, but in order to give credit to Lord Shiva, who later drank all the poison and kept it in his neck, Lord Vishnu did not take action. The process of churning the ocean of milk, we find that such a task was impossible, even by the most learned, the strongest of all living beings within the universe. We find that at every stage, the help of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was utterly required. We are never the doers of our activities. Whatever we have is the borrowed property of Krishna. That is clearly illustrated in this verse. Now, we come to the subject. Why are they churning the ocean of milk? They are performing this great service, which is also a very, very difficult sacrifice, for the purpose of producing nectar. But actually, are they producing nectar? The nectar is already there. The process of churning just separates the essence from whatever else is present. It's like when you churn the buttermilk. What takes place is what appears to be just one homogeneous liquid cream. Through the process of churning, you separate the essence, the butter, from that which is mixed within the butter. And due to that mixture, the real essence of butter cannot be seen. So the process of churning is the process of separating the essence from anything else that may be present, bringing about the essence that is already there, but it's hidden. Now, the churning of the ocean of milk is similar. Within the ocean is nectar. Because it is mixed with the rest of the ocean, it is diluted in this way. Now here, the greatest of all personalities within the universe, they cannot do it themselves, no matter how hard they try, despite all their vast learning, despite all their good karma, despite all their physical prowess, despite all their managerial abilities, they cannot extract the nectar from the ocean. Therefore, the Lord himself, as Kurma Rupa, was at the bottom, in the form of the thousand-armed incarnation, he was at the top. In the form of the three gunas, Gunavatar, he appeared in the three gunas. He appeared within the demigods and the demons on either side. in the form of Ajita. He himself did the churning. Until he actually took the serpent himself and started churning, nothing was happening to the ocean. Now, to become Krishna conscious is churning the ocean of our consciousness. At this particular time, the essence, bhakti, pure devotion, is within our consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabu Noi Sravanadi Sudhi Chitti Koriya Yudori, that pure love of God is within everyone's heart. But the problem is, our bhakti, our devotion, is utterly diluted and mixed by so many material desires, so many unwanted things, anarthas. And therefore, this bhakti must be separated. Our real consciousness, our pure natural consciousness must be separated but from the illusion that is surrounding it in all directions. And therefore, sadhana bhakti is the process of churning our consciousness. Now, when you first start churning, it creates a great agitation. Just like we see here, as the demigods and demons are churning the ocean of milk, the alligators, the timangila fish, the sharks, and all the other aquatics within that ocean are becoming very much disturbed, very agitated. They do not like this churning. So similarly, when we start churning our consciousness through the process of sadhana bhakti, all of our material desires become very fearful. All of our material desires become very much disturbed and agitated. Why? If you want to defeat a tiger, you have to stop feeding him. The more you feed a tiger, the more powerful and hungry, and the more powerful and controlling he becomes. But if you stop giving food to the tiger, he becomes very disturbed because he's not getting what he normally gets as a routine. Therefore, his mind, his senses become very ferocious. And if you respond to his roaring demands, then you simply go back to the beginning point of dealing with an all-powerful tiger. But if you can somehow or other tolerate all of his roaring and screaming and all of his agitation, gradually the tiger becomes weaker and weaker and weaker until he dies. So the controlling of the mind is the same way. When we take to sadhana bhakti, vidhi bhakti, we begin to churn our consciousness. And the first thing that happens is our material desires that are dormant within our heart, because they are not becoming fulfilled, they become very much disturbed, very agitated. And what happens? They all start coming to the surface. Also, we must know that by our own abilities, we cannot extract the nectar, because our consciousness, like the ocean of milk, is so vast that it is beyond our capabilities and beyond the capability of all the help of everyone within this world to extract the nectar from our consciousness. It is only by tad vijnanartham sukurum eva vigashtet tad gurum prapadye tad jigyasu sreyamutamam. It is only by the mercy of Krishna, or his specially empowered representative, the spiritual master, with their help, that the process of vidhi bhakti can be properly followed. Krishna says in Gita, by following the regulative principles, which is vidhi bhakti, one can attain the complete mercy of the Lord, and thus one can become free from all attractions and aversions. In the same way, the demigods and the demons, simply they had to try. It was beyond them. It was impossible for them. But simply they were trying as hard as they could. If you try very hard, Krishna comes, he helps, he preserves what you have, he carries what you lack. If you simply observe the regulative principles to the best of your ability, however difficult or impossible it may be, you attract the mercy of the Lord. And by the mercy of the Lord, everything is possible. Mukam kroti vachalam bhangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham vande si gurum dhinatarana. The Lord's mercy is coming through Gurudev. And when you achieve his mercy, nothing is impossible. If you are lame, you cross the mountain. If you are blind, you can see the farthest, most distant stars in the sky. And even if you are dumb, you can speak most beautiful poetry and philosophy. There is nothing impossible for one who attains the mercy of the Lord. Vishnu Shakti is all-powerful. And if we simply engage, Krishna says, in following the regulative principles of devotion, which means we simply try as hard as we can to perform our service to Gurudev, then you attain the mercy. Krishna comes, he preserves what we have, he carries what we lack. If the demigods and demons never agreed to accept the service of churning the ocean, would Vishnu have incarnated in so many ways to help them? Would the nectar have ever been produced? Never. First of all, they surrendered to the service. And not only did they surrender theoretically to the service, but also they gave everything within their power to fulfill the desire of the Lord in that service. They worked so hard. They gave every drop of their energy, and still it was not near enough. Similarly, if we want to churn the ocean of our consciousness and produce the nectar of prema bhakti, love of God, we must first accept the service of Gurudev and Krishna. And then we must work and try as hard as we possibly can to follow the principles of our Guru Maharaj's instruction. And the fact is, it is impossible. The Guru is telling us to give up all sense gratification, to fix the consciousness always on Krishna. It is not possible. And as we try, we find all these all-devouring timangila fishes of lust and envy and anger and greed and all these things starting coming to the surface, and we think, oh my God, this is what I'm dealing with. It's impossible. Krishna is none different than his name. When we cry out the name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, the name is none different than Krishna. The name is none different than this Supreme Person, Ajita, who is actually doing the churning. Similarly, the holy name, which is the incarnation of Ajita in this age of Kali Yuga, he is the one that takes the churning rod, takes the rope, and churns it for us. It is through the sound of the holy name that all of the ocean begins to become disturbed, agitated. But this is the process of purification. And we find that the first thing that comes out of the ocean is hala hala. It was such a horrible, distasteful poison. It just started spreading in all directions, and it created fear and havoc amongst all the demigods and the demons, because they knew that this poison was so great that it can destroy the entire universe. There was great danger. They're looking for nectar. They're working so hard for nectar, and what they get is poison? Isn't that the same thing that takes place in the life of a devotee? We're chanting our rounds every day. We're following the four regulative principles very strictly. We're obediently and humbly serving our Guru Maharaj, and at the expense of everything else in our life, we're giving up our families. Our parents think we're crazy. The society thinks we're strange. We have practically no money. We're accepting the position of rejects. Huh? We're accepting so much inconvenience simply for the purpose of getting this nectar. And what happens? All this poison just starts pouring out of our minds. We feel more disturbed, more lusty, more envious, more angry, more greedy, more illusion than we ever did before. What's happening? This is what the demigods and the demons were thinking. You see, before the nectar can come out, first of all the poison has to be extracted. It all has to come to the surface, and it all must be wiped away. So it is a fact. The darkest moment comes before the dawn. Before you see the sweet nectar, first you have to see everything bad that is within you. Man, it is not nice. It's horrible. Before you understand what love of God is, first you have to understand how much you do not love God, how many interferences are between you and love of God. Therefore, an insincere devotee is very bewildered. He's thinking, I'm taking to this process to taste nectar, and all I'm getting is poison. I'll go somewhere else. I'll find some spiritual path where I don't have to churn the ocean of my consciousness, where I can just keep the ocean real peaceful as far as possible. And then I'll think, ah, nice, nice. Everything's very calm. I'm thinking this is spiritual life. Spiritual life does not mean peace. Spiritual life means warfare. The real peace comes after the war. As long as the enemy is controlling your camp, how can you find peace? First, there has to be a war, and through that war, you have to evacuate the enemy from your camp. Then there can be peace. But don't think that the enemy is just going to leave upon your invitation, because they have been holding your mind captive for millions of births. Very attached. It's like we are reading in the newspaper about Iraq and Kuwait. The Iraqian, what is his name? Hussein? Anyways, the dictator of Iraq. Very, very powerful personality. He just marched his troops into Kuwait, and he took over this country, and now that it's his, he is not going to give it up to anyone. He's fighting. Even the most powerful forces in the world are saying, give up Kuwait. And he's saying, now it is mine. And he's only had it for a week or two. Can you imagine if he had it? If it was under their control for millions of years? Would they be anxious? They've already built their whole civilization in it. Just like when the British came to India, they built the VT station and all these nice buildings. They built all these wonderful parliament houses in Delhi. They put so much energy and so much time and so much money and so much manpower into this India. When India wanted to get rid of them, did they just say, oh, yes, yes, of course, you don't want us anymore? Namaste, Mahatma Gandhi, I will go. No, it was not like that. What happened is Gandhiji, Subhash Chandra Bose, they had different functions. They started agitating the situation. They started churning the country, right? And when they started churning the country, the British, oh my God, they became very angry. They started cutting people's thumbs off. They started killing people. They started brutally beating people. Well, if Gandhi and Subhash Chandra Bose would have said, too much trouble. Let's just keep things peaceful and let's just wash the feet of the British people, then they'll be more nice to us. No, they knew these are the enemies. These people have completely taken over our country. It is ours, and they have taken it, and they are polluting it, and they are misusing it. Therefore, they had to produce agitation first. And that agitation created a war. There was so much persecution, so much horrible politics, it came to the view of the whole world. And this went on for years and years and years. And finally, because they didn't give up, because they kept churning and kept churning with all this poison coming out, ultimately, the enemy had to leave. So this is the same process that takes place in spiritual life. As soon as you take to Krishna consciousness, you are declaring war on Maya. Maya has been appearing to be your friend. You like me here, don't you? I'm nice. Look at all I'm providing for you. Providing you so much pleasure. Just leave me alone and you'll be happy. But if you in any way try to go against me, be prepared for war. So when we take to the process of following the instructions of the spiritual master, such disturbance. You start churning the ocean of your mind, and it just, all the enemy troops just start coming to the surface. Lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, illusion. They all start coming out. All the impurities, all the poison. All the poison starts pouring out, and you think, unless you are under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, you will undoubtedly give up. You will think, what's happening? You lose your faith. This is what separates the sincere from the insincere. When the poison starts coming out, it's beyond our control. Therefore, what did the demigods and demons do when this great halahala poison came out? They just had to run to the lotus feet of Vishnu. Similarly, when this poison starts pouring out, we have to take shelter of Krishna. We have to take shelter
of the Vani, the words of our spiritual master, the scriptures and the great sadhus.
That is our only hope.
And Lord Vishnu,
he is so kind and merciful, very symbolic, that Lord Vishnu himself did not want to accept this most glorious service of drinking the poison. Krishna takes more pleasure in glorifying his devotee than seeing himself glorified. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna showed the Virat Rup, the universal form, to Arjuna, and he proved to him that actually I could kill all these armies within a second with my flaming mouths. But Arjuna, I want you to have the credit. I want you to be glorified for the rest of the world's history. Because a father loves to see his son glorified even more than himself. So similarly, here, Lord Vishnu, whose heart and soul is always captured by the love of Shankar, Vaishnavanam Yathasambhu, he is the most pure-hearted of all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. In every Vaishnava sampradaya, there is the worship of Shiva. We find in Vrindavan, Lord Shiva is worshipped as Gopeshwara Mahadev, the greatest of all Vaishnavas, the greatest Mahadev, the greatest of all the demigods, who has taken the form of a gopi to assist Krishna in his divine Leela. That is Krishna Leela. In Ram Leela, we find that Lord Shankar is the greatest of all devotees, and Ram himself is worshipping Shankar at Rameshwaram. And Lord Shankar has manifested in his great expansion incarnation as Hanumanji, and playing the role of the greatest of all Vaishnavas. And Lord Ramchandra, he has spoken, and it is especially stressed in the Ramcharitamanas by Tulsidas, that unless one worships Lord Shiva, unless one gets the mercy of Hanumanji and Shankar, cannot approach Ramchandra. Not possible. And in every holy dham, it is either Hanuman or Shiva who is the guardian of the dham. In Badrinath, before going to Badrinath, you must first get the permission of Hanumanji, just beyond Joshimath. In Chitrakoot, on the top of the high mountain above the Chitrakoot hill, there is Hanuman Dwara, where Hanuman is standing majestically with his club guarding Chitrakoot for all time to come. In Ayodhya, there is the most famous temple, Hanuman Chatti, which is on top of a large mountain, and there Hanuman stands guarding all of Ayodhya. In Jagannath Puri, we have Bedi Hanuman, where Hanuman is, to keep him there as a guard, they had to chain his feet. But he's always standing there guarding Jagannath Puri from the Asuras. In Rameshwaram, the holy place of Lord Ram, you find that the principal temple is the Rameshwaram, which is a temple of Lord Shankar. So in this way, virtually all the holy places of the Vaishnavas, they worship Lord Shiva, and he always has the most intimate service. And you cannot approach the Dham, and you cannot approach the Lord without first getting the blessings of Lord Shiva. So this is how dear Lord Shiva is to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is supremely worshipable. Therefore, the Lord wanted to see his devotee getting glorified. So therefore, Lord Vishnu, he himself, along with all the demigods and demons, he directed them, "Let us go to Lord Shankar. He is my devotee. He can save us from this great poison." Similarly, when we begin to chant the holy name of the Lord, when we begin to follow the regulative principles of bhakti, and the poison starts coming out, the difficulties start arising within our lives, the war begins. It is said, by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. If we are sincere, just as Krishna led the demons and demigods to the feet of the great Param Guru, Shiva, So similarly, if we are sincere in this process of churning our own hearts, then Krishna will lead us to the lotus feet of his devotee, the spiritual master. His divine grace will come through Gurudev. And by the mercy of Gurudev, Krishna's mercy will manifest within our lives. And therefore, when we approach the Guru Maharaj, we must glorify the Guru Maharaj. Because when we glorify the spiritual master, we are giving the greatest pleasure to Krishna. Yes, we sing the glories of our Guru Maharaj, but the real glorification is to glorify his mission by surrendering to his word. We chant, we dance, we say, Jai Prabhupada, that is very nice, that is necessary, it should come from our hearts. But if it is actually coming from our hearts, it does not end there. The real glorification is through sacrifice, through surrender. Thy will, not my will, be done. When we accept the Guru's order as our life and soul, and we are willing to even accept so much difficulty on his behalf, that is the real glorification of the spiritual master. And Krishna is so pleased by that glorification that that, more than anything else, wins his heart. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham, maranyatena janati naham ne tevi manogapi. Lord Narayan has said that the sadhu is my life, my soul. Because I am always in his heart, he is always in my heart. Because he knows no one but me, I know no one but him. That is the sadhu. So when we take shelter of the lotus feet of the sadhu, which is the greatest gift of Krishna, that he has directed us to such a person, that is the real process of getting the complete mercy of the Lord. So as this poison comes out, do not be afraid, do not be surprised. Expect it. It will. It must come out before the nectar of love of God arises in your consciousness. First, all the poison must be extracted. Therefore, it is said that Krishna consciousness is not cheap. Those who are not willing to tolerate the difficulty and turn to God and Guru and the sadhus to help them in this great process, in a humble and helpless state of mind, just continue on trying as hard as we can. Some people say, I cannot chant properly, my chanting, it's so difficult, my mind is running everywhere. Of course, that's the poison coming out. When you start, the chanting is the churning. When you start churning, all the poisons just start coming out of your mind. Things that you never even knew existed, it's horrible. Sometimes you think, I'm more peaceful when I'm not chanting. The fact that all this poison's coming out means the chanting's working. But you have to keep trying. If you're not at all trying to be attentive, then the chanting will have very little effect. But if you're really and seriously trying to be attentive, just like the demigods and the demons, as helpless as they are, although they can't really do anything, they're just trying to do it. Similarly, if we just go on with our chanting, go on with our service, then let that poison be removed. Let it come out. And by the mercy of Krishna, he will empower us. By the mercy of Guru, it is possible, but it is not easy. It will be as difficult as it can possibly be. It will take you to the limit of your own abilities to tolerate. But if you're willing to just keep going and keep trying, then Krishna says, this person is serious. Guru Maharaj says, yes, this person actually is serious. And then they take control. But it doesn't happen at once. If it happened at once, it would be cheap. They let it go on and on for some time. And then, yes, now I see this person is really sincere. And then the poison will be removed. And when that poison is removed, gradually you can perceive the bhakti, the love, within your heart. You see, when the poison is removed, that is mukti, that is liberation. But you have to keep churning even after the poison is removed, before bhava and prema
are manifested within your mind.
That is why Srila Rupa Goswami explains very nicely, adosha tatata sadhu sangota bhajana kriya tato nartana vitisha tato nishtaru chistata. That at the beginning there's a little faith. By that faith, Krishna responds and sends you to Guru. Guru trains you in the principles of sadhana bhakti. Actually, the first thing, first faith, from the faith, sadhu sangha. The Lord, first of all, He gives you the faith based on your desire. Everything is happening by God's grace, just like this story. You have a little desire for spiritual life, Krishna provides faith. Krishna says in Gita, I supply all faith. From that faith, He directs you to the association of devotees. What is the association? It is none other than Krishna Himself manifesting through the sadhus, through their words and through their actions. They are His instruments. So Krishna, through the sadhus, they enlighten you by their words, by their example. And gradually we become inspired. And then we start taking to the process of Krishna consciousness, and we surrendered to what He tells us not to do, and we surrendered to what He tells us we should do. That is called bhajana kriya. And through bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti shat, all the poison starts coming out. Halahala starts coming like anything. All the impurities start coming out from this churning process of bhajana kriya. And after all the poison is out, then what? Nishta, ruchi, the higher taste. There's peace of mind, there's liberation, there's the higher taste for Krishna consciousness. There's pure faith. Now if it was up to us, we would stop the churning as soon as there was liberation. We're thinking, the poison is gone, now everything's good, why should I keep working? Therefore we need a spiritual master within the Vaishnava Sampradaya, who tells us, no, continue churning, this is not the end. Mukti is just the beginning of spiritual life. We keep churning, we keep working, we keep struggling, we keep striving in this process. And gradually, bhava, love of God, awakens. And then ultimately, prema. Prema means Krishna reveals your eternal relationship with Him in the spiritual world. And you can always taste the sweetness of that loving service at every moment of your consciousness. So do not give up this churning process. Under the able guidance of the Guru, the Sadhu, and the Shastra, continue this great process of churning. Do not be surprised when the poison comes. Krishna is right there to help you. You simply have to give everything within your power to do the best you can in His service. And He will preserve what you have. He will carry what you lack. Krishna says in Gita, for one who surrenders to me, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Have faith. Krishna will protect you. Continue to fight this great war and know that wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is sure to be victory, great opulence. The perfection of life is guaranteed. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
Who is ultimately creator of everything? Then why he created many gods and demons?
Why
he created many gods?
He does not need them. He can do everything through his energies, directly or indirectly. But he is so kind that he wants to give his devotees service. The loving reciprocation of service is the sweetness of the exchange between the Lord and His devotees. Therefore, it is for this purpose that He has created the position of the demigods. And as far as the demons, He has created everyone with independence, with freedom of choice. And there's the demigods and there's the demons. Either you're a devotee or a demon. Sura, asura. So if He does not create within your heart the freedom of choice to be either a demigod or a demon, then there can be no real pleasure in the love, the sweetness of surrender. The sweetness of love comes through surrender. And surrender can only take place in a heart where there is freedom of choice. So Krishna gives all living beings the choice. Do you want to be a demigod or do you want to be a demon? Bali Maharaj was a demon. But after coming in the association of Vamanadev, he chose to become a devotee. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.